Wir gerne sehen, was ist los? It's deinen Freundo, Seth. I'm learning German. Yeah, in case you didn't know what that was. That is me trying to impress you with the little German that I know. Right now, I am actually learning German. I took it in high school. I goofed off the entire time. I did some other language learning apps. They taught me things like where the taxi stand is and how to find a bus, but not a lot of conversational German. Thankfully, that's what Babbel is all about. Babbel teaches you language conversationally, which, let's face it, that is what you want to know anyway. I don't know. When I was in school, you learned like how to count. You learned like the colors. You learned the shapes. Those are all important things, but they don't help you when you're in like Cologne, Germany with Ein Nierenstein, which, by the way, is German for kidney stone, an experience I can unfortunately speak personally to. But I've been using Babbel to learn to speak German again, better than I have before. I actually really like it because it is conversational. It's a little bit more relaxed. One of the things that it does that I really like is it'll sometimes show you what the literal English translation is. And I don't know why, but I find that very helpful in sort of understanding the structure, the grammar of a language, and sort of putting myself into that mind space. Since I'm only in Germany for Gamescom, which is like a week, week and a half, I'm not immersed in the German language. I'm not immersed in German culture. So what I do is the second best thing. I'm taking Babbel. Hopefully this year when I go to Germany, I'll be able to impress all the Germans with how much German I know from learning through Babbel. The app has pronunciation recognition, so you'll be able to learn how to speak better with your accent, how to actually properly pronounce the words. That way you won't get made fun of by a group of older German men because you said apple strudel and not Apfelstrudel. No, it's really cool. I'm going to say right now there is a special limited time deal for our listeners. Right now you can get up to 60% off your Babbel subscription, but only for our listeners, because you guys are the best ones, by the way, at babbel.com/realm. Get 60% off at babbel.com/realm. That is spelled babbel.com/realm. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Visible is a wireless carrier that is not invisible. It is pretty clear from the name. Actually, radio waves are invisible. And I can say this with authority as a licensed amateur radio operator. That being said, Visible won't be giving you the power to see light outside the visible spectrum. It's actually way better because having that ability would make getting around very difficult and distracting. What you do get with Visible is unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. You get one line of wireless, just $25 a month, which is great in these times of economic uncertainty. That is one line for $25, taxes and fees included. So whatever you're doing at this moment, please stop. Switch immediately. Now, monthly rate on the Visible plan for data management practices and additional terms, visit visible.com.
Listen. Welcome to NVC IGN's Nintendo Show, Nintendo Voice Chat. I am Casey DeFreitas, and I am here with Brian Altano.
Brap, brap.
Herr Schneider.
Das Brappen.
And Tom Marks.
I got nothing. I'm not
So I know. So Zachary Ryan is actually gone this week as well. He got his wisdom teeth removed.
Mm-hmm. Oh, no.
He's not feeling too hot, so he is not here. But we got Tom. That's great.
Yep. That's right.
And also,
and I have my wisdom teeth.
Nice. Me
oh,
too.
Wow. That's right. You do have your wisdom teeth. Yep. I do not have my wisdom teeth. My mouth is too small.
I feel like sharks got it right. Like, I want them as a spare just in case another one gets knocked out.
So,
is that
fun
a thing?
Fact, yeah. Wisdom teeth are here as an evolutionary thing so that when you were supposed to lose your teeth after not brushing your teeth in the wilderness, they would replace them and you
oh.
can still eat.
See?
But now we have dental care, so we don't need that anymore.
This is a weird show so far.
Anyway, some housekeeping.
The more you learn.
Besides oral dentistry history.
Mm-hmm.
So, we announced last week that the show is going audio only starting next week, and there's been a lot of questions and conversation around that, and we just wanted to address that and kind of answer some of your questions. Brian, I know you have like kind of talked about this before.
Yeah. So. Obviously, you know, like we love video here at IGN. I'm a video host. Video games have video in the title, so video is an important initiative for us here. We are currently working on a bunch of new video products, which we're really proud of. One of them I'm specifically proud of because I'm working on it, and that means I like it better than the other stuff. but this show is going to be audio moving forward. And that is probably making some of you go like, that sucks. I watch on YouTube every week. I totally understand that. I implore you to give us a chance, stick with us. If you watch on YouTube all the time, like there's going to be some hiccups where you're like, you know, I used to see your faces and like make fun of what you wore and say that you look like video game characters. You can still do that. You can go to all of our other videos and all of our other comment sections and do that. But NBC on YouTube will be an audio show with a static image, but I think it's going to get really good. And so I really hope you stick with us. If you give us a few weeks and you don't like where it is, that's fine if you dip out, but give us a chance. I honestly think that audio shows have a tendency to be a little bit more like loose.
Yeah. Yeah.
The studio has a kind of an ability to kind of constrict. It's very professional.
It's not as comfy. I never feel as comfortable, but I mean, look, our podcast shows were audio shows for many, many years, and that's how they got popular, yep. right? And we recently started syndicating the audio to new platforms as well, new listening services. And that's where most of the audience for these shows sit. And, you know, we're really, really happy that people discovered us on YouTube. But we're out of production resources and studio resources, and it keeps us from creating some new content. And I feel like there's more Nintendo news and more Nintendo stuff to talk about than just via a weekly show format.
Yeah.
So hopefully you'll get some more content that you like and not just lose this beautiful face.
That one specifically is going to hurt to not see. I will also add, personally, I'm like always have been a huge champion for smaller indie games on Switch, on 3DS and everything else. And so I'm workshopping other ways to bring those games visually to the forefront for our audience to find, because it would break my heart like if we couldn't find a way to connect those games with the big audience that IGN has.
Yep.
And so through other shows, through other means, through other features, I will be working on that specifically. And I know, Tom, that's your jam too. So yeah, keep it locked, as they say. So like if you watch the show on YouTube, pull out your Switch, play video games while you're listening. If you like, if you find yourself maybe gravitating towards iTunes or a podcast player and
it's
you want to listen
on
your
Spotify.
Yeah,
exactly. So all of those things, like it seems tough right now. I think it's going to be awesome. I think the show is going to get better for it because it's going to feel less stuffy and more fun. And with that, we will transition to what I think is some incredibly awesome news for the show. And I think you will as well. Casey, take it away.
Oh, man. Hey, guys. So you probably noticed that I've been hosting the show for the past couple of weeks, and that was us kind of transitioning into me being host. Hello. I am the new NVC host, Leap Going Forward.
Yay.
Woo! Thanks, guys.
What's your name?
My name is Casey DeFreitas.
What's up, Casey?
I'm on the Wikis team. And also because I'm on the Wikis team, sometimes they get really busy. So the only reason I'm able to do this is because of the support of my co-hosts, like Brian, Zach, Pear, Tom, Alex Osborne, Dan Parkhurst. Like a ton of people are making this able to happen for me, and I really appreciate it. And I hope that you stick with it and still like the show and like me and everyone else.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you know, when things get too crazy for you, we'll do what we did in the past. You know, Zach will hop on, I'll hop on, Pear will hop on, Tom, you can hop on, everybody can do it.
Yep. And when there's big stuff, you know, don't think you're not going to see us again or the NVC brand again. You know, there will be E3, there will be live shows, sometimes in our office, sometimes in different locations.
Mm-hmm.
We're actually doing some stuff in the office, not with NVC this week. So, you know, this is not goodbye.
Yeah,
and I implore you, we are not going anywhere. Please reach out to us on Twitter. Go to our Nintendo podcast forums on Facebook. We are there all the time and chatting, so let us know what you think and if you have any opinions.
Yeah, we're all really active in there, so go check that out.
Yeah, and I know I lurk more often than I reply, but I read a lot of stuff in there. So, but anyway, moving on March 3rd, this past Sunday, it was the Nintendo Switch's second birthday.
Woohoo!
Yay! More good
happy
news.
Second.
Yeah. Yeah, happy second anniversary.
Yeah.
Birthday?
That went quick.
That really, really fast.
Yeah.
That really brought a lot of joy to my heart, by the way, thinking about that first weekend when I got the Switch and the fact that that was so intrinsically connected and synonymous with our first experiences with one of the greatest video games ever made, which is Breath of the Wild. And like, it's impossible to separate those two things. And I remember that first weekend, me and like 15 other people at IGN ordered our Nintendo Switches through Amazon for day and date delivery instead of going to a store and getting a console like the olden days where they're going to bring them right to the office. And like three or four people's Switches showed up to the office and like 30 people's switches got delayed. Oh. And so mine kept getting kicked around. And I went home that Friday night and I got basically an email from Amazon saying it wasn't going to show up until Monday. And I was so miserable. And I tweeted about how sad I was that I didn't have my Switch, which is such a first world problem, I know. But Jared Petty, friend of the show, former IGN editor, said, "Hey, I screwed up and I ordered two Switches. Yeah. Do you want to come up and pick mine up and pay me for it? And then you'll have a Switch tonight." And I was like, yes. And so I got in my car, drove like 45 minutes to his house, and his wife was there, and she handed me a Nintendo Switch, and I went home and I played Switch all weekend, and it was the damn best. So thank you, Jared. Yeah. Screw you, Amazon.
So I was actually here when they did the original Switch, when they did that big presentation and showed Breath of the Wild for the first time. That was my first week in the office, actually.
Oh my God.
And I immediately, it was up for pre-order, like right after that, right?
Yeah.
So I live with like everyone else. Like, I know we got news articles to write, but also I have to pre-order a Switch.
That's right. Yeah, we were all in the room. It was during the reveal event in January.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I hosted the NVC like post show. And I think on the show, Per and I had our laptops.
Oh, yeah.
And we were like,
what were you saying? What was that?
And I was like, got it. Yes.
I think I ordered three, two of which were delayed.
Well, you and I had we came out of like Amiibo era, terrified, and NES Classic era, all that of like thinking there's no way in hell we're going to get this.
Exactly.
We're going to have to camp out for this thing. And we all got lucky. I think I ordered like four different Switches, canceled them all, and just kept Amazon.
This is really funny to hear these experiences because I was working at PC Gamer at the time. And so I wasn't totally – like I knew I was going to get a Switch, but I was like, maybe I'll put it off because I was one of those people who was also like, launch lineup's not huge. Like maybe I'll just wait a little bit. And then at 9:30 p.m. the day before launch, I was like, I'm going to go to a Best Buy. And I like waited in line at a Best Buy for like 2 hours, got in at the midnight opening and just got a Switch and walked home and was like, great, cool.
Well, here's the thing.
That's where I got my Switch was from Best Buy.
Yeah.
I had like plenty of pre-orders available and I just like pre-ordered it from Best Buy. And then I went to the midnight launch by myself and got a poster.
I couldn't believe, but to your point, like I couldn't believe how like just walking up 2 hours before the store opened and just getting one was even possible. Because I also remember camping out from I think I went to get my Wii at like I started camping out at like noon the day before when the Wii came out, right?
That one was bad.
Yeah. It's also like when you were working at PC Gamer in like 2017 or whatever, you would have never known that all the games you were covering would become the biggest games on Switch in 2019.
Right.
Like
that's pretty funny.
That turned out to be this whole big loop where it was like this big home for indie games. So yeah, it was just like so monumentous to go in for that system, especially after covering the Wii U for so many years, which like was a fun system to cover and had a lot of really great games, but ultimately kind of collapsed upon itself and didn't truly connect with an audience.
And it didn't, like, its promise just didn't come true, right? Like that promise of TVs in the use, do, you know, keep on playing. It's like in my living room, I was too far away from the base station. It disconnected even.
When Reggie announced he was retiring, my co-host Max Golo and I went and watched his first presentation at E3 for the Wii U.
Mm-hmm.
And they ran that pitch video of all the things that it could do. And so few of those things came true.
Yeah.
And it's like, also much of the software in that demo was like tech stuff, you know, that never really happened. And I feel like the Switch, when we heard about it, it's completely delivered on everything it's promised and more.
I've been to zero rooftop parties. How dare you?
That's your own choice.
That's fair. But you're right. You're right. The promise of console quality on the go also is just true. That just came true.
They didn't have it in the video, but I did play Mario Kart in multiple airplanes already. So
yeah. I've played it on a train with strangers. Yeah.
I played Smash Ultimate at an airport with GameCube controllers.
No, that's amazing.
I was like, I can't play this game without GameCube controllers. Hooked it all up, like had it like leaning on our suitcases.
That's dedication.
That is so awesome.
So was that your favorite memory related to Switch?
Yeah, I think. I mean that whole first week was so cool. Like I would say that like it still hasn't gotten old to me, like the novel idea of snapping on and off the Joy-Con and that clicking noise, you know, that snap noise. And like playing multiplayer games like that, playing Breath of the Wild and then immediately jumping over to a bunch of, like there was a bunch of really cool smaller games out at the time. There was Shovel Knight, there was Fast RMX, there was, I'm trying to think of more. There was 1-2 Switch, which is the one I've actively tried to forget the hardest.
Mm-hmm.
I think the world has as well.
Snipperclips,
right? Which was like totally, I think like defined what that system was trying to do. It was bringing people together and each one of them gets a Joy-Con and they get to play mm-hmm. weird things and cut each other up.
The game made me cry laughing.
Yeah, me too.
So do you remember the Nintendo event like right before the launch where we got to hold the system for the first time?
I found a picture of that where you and me and Max Scoville are sitting at this like fake diner that Nintendo set
up. Oh, yeah, yeah.
And we're holding Joy-Cons and we all look like really weird and confused.
Yeah, there was that one. That was the kind of public launch event. Then there was like a smaller one where I think journalists got to try them out for the first time. Maybe it was, was it attached to the escape room or something? I forgot what it was, but it's like I remember very distinctly picking up the system going, it feels good. Like the quality of the build was so different from the Wii U. If you haven't touched a Wii U in a while, pick up the tablet.
Yep.
Pick it up. It is shiny, plasticky. It feels weird. It's like heavy. And then you touch the material, the Switch. It feels like it's a little porous. It feels like a piece of consumer electronic, like a real device.
Yeah.
The Wii U gamepad is really funny too, because I loved my Wii U. Like I really did like it. I really liked the gamepad. I liked all the 1v4 stuff in Nintendo Land and things.
Oh, that was
like
good.
That.
Yeah.
And I really liked the shape of the gamepad and the way it held and the way it was. And then I got my Switch and I played the Switch for like a week, and then I went back and picked up the gamepad and was like, oh no. What was I thinking?
Dude, I did a weird thing over the weekend.
I was happy with it until the Switch.
My wife and I have been playing New Super Mario Brothers U Deluxe, and we just found all the gold coins. And so we're like, we beat it. We moved on. And she was like, Where's the one with the cats? And I'm like, oh, it's on Nintendo Wii U. And I had this weird idea. I'm like, I'm going to drag my Wii U out of retirement in honor of the 2-year anniversary of the Switch, hook it back up to my big TV, and like, try to reconnect with what that system was. Well, and it's
got Pikmin and Wind Waker on it, all that
stuff.
There's
so much on there that it still does better than Switch. There's dedicated folders. There's dozens of virtual console games, Pikmin, Wind Waker.
Yeah.
But the thing that I noticed immediately was just how snappy the Switch is at doing everything.
Mm-hmm.
You turn on your Wii U and it's like 4 minutes, and then it just plays this like nightmare music while like all these tiny people walk around on top of your TV, and they're just like, bah, 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 bah. Like, I'm playing WarioWare. And you're like, okay, what's going on here?
I thought it was charming.
It's got a lot of,
but the system wasn't like, I remember like I rebooted the system the other day and I turned it on with the gamepad, and then I'm like, wait, you gotta switch the screens because the menu is on the TV, and I hadn't turned off on the TV, right?
Yep.
Like it was so clunky in many ways, but it had a lot of really good games. Hopefully they'll all come to Switch.
There was also some weird stuff around the Switch launch. Like there was the left Joy-Con drifting issues.
Mm-hmm.
There was, I think people hadn't really seen like the bend on the Switches yet, but a couple people already had that right out the box.
Yeah.
And for the most part, those things turned out to be not really widespread, luckily. But we were worried there for a minute.
I am still a little worried as the Switch gets older and reaches more birthdays, because I still love my Switch and it's still holding up all right. But there are more and more of these little quality of life problems that are cropping up, like Joy-Con, like my left Joy-Con doesn't click on and off anymore. It just kind of stays there.
Yep.
Or I know a lot of people have left Joy-Cons where occasionally it'll like drift up, like the joystick has been hit up, but you haven't hit it that way.
I have one that drifts left.
Right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And there's like a bunch of like, there's these little things, kickstands falling off, right?
Yeah. The early Pro controllers also have lots of issues with D-pad left and right.
And,
if you play a Tetris, you know what I mean.
I'm still loving the Switch, and I'm still so excited that like I don't want it to end. I want this train to keep going and them to keep up their momentum, but I'm a little nervous because my Wii U gamepad is still fine, right? Mm-hmm. Like my Wii U gamepad lives and will. I feel like I could drop it under a bus and it would probably be okay.
I dropped my Nintendo 64 down the stairs twice and it still works.
Right, right. Like
I would
those
bring
old
it,
systems.
Yeah.
Well, luckily there will be another Switch upgrade out by the end of the year, and then you have to upgrade anyway. You don't have to worry about it.
I don't know. It's just so funny to me, the idea of you being like, well, time to bring my Nintendo 64 upstairs again. Oops.
Okay, look, I was like 11.
Oh,
I was much smaller.
That makes more
sense. I had many stairs to encounter to get it to my next door neighbor's house, which also had stairs. There are a lot of opportunities.
If I know the experience you're talking about, you're probably not just carrying the 64. You're carrying the 64 and three controllers and two
and all
games,
the games
and a rumble pack.
And I'm like, I can do this. Yeah. I couldn't do it.
The Switch is definitely one of the more, like, the build quality is phenomenal, but in terms of, like, Nintendo stuff, it feels less toyetic, and because of that, it feels less durable. Mm-hmm. Like, there's in the Nintendo World Store in New York City, there's a Game Boy running Tetris that literally survived bombings in the Iraq War.
Yeah.
And it's like the entire front end of it is blown out, and it's like, you know, more brown and green than usual. And it's got burn marks and stuff, and it's running Tetris.
Oh my gosh.
I feel like the Switch, like when you plug in your Joy-Con too many times, it just gets loose and tired.
Or you put the little straps on the Joy-Con. Like that mechanism was designed by the devil.
Oh yeah.
Like the, you know, like how you can't hit a button to smoothly slide it off. You have to go like.
Yeah, first night I brought that Switch home and I tried to put the attachments on. I was like, oh, I already ruined my Switch the first night.
The Joy-Con grips, right? Do you remember standing there and trying to take one off and being like almost in tears, and you're like, it's over. I saw something you posted in the NVC group where you were like, oh, I had to read, like, I had to watch like a like weird Swedish YouTube video on how to like fix that.
Yeah.
Nice. Ah, yes.
Dangerous times. I will say that it was buying games on that store was so immediately gratifying, and that is an addiction that has not gone away.
do you have, like me, many, 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 many rows of games on your Switch?
Yeah.
To the point where I was out of save space, too. I had to, like, delete stuff. Because the core system was just full with saves.
I did the same thing, yeah. And I was I upgraded to the 400 gigabyte card recently because at launch like as expensive as a Switch.
Yeah, they were really
pricey. Now you can get them for like $60 or
something. I think like I got mine for like 88 or 90, 95 or something, but they're like $70 or $80 now, which is great.
I do love that the system supports hoarder mentality by showing you all the icons of everything you have, even if it's if you need to re-download it. It's a really, really simple, really good UI. Like, it's so fast.
And 2 years later, they've kept it pretty light on features and bloat. And I think that's completely intentional because it's as snappy and quick and responsive as it's ever been.
I turned on my 3DS, which I had customized with badges. And I'm like, holy hell. You know, it's just like, there's like the Majora's Mask moon next to Mario jumping. And I'm like, I don't know where my games are. So
it's chaos.
You can go. It is complete. It's self-made chaos, but it's chaos.
So we all love the Switch. It was wonderful. It's great. It's still wonderful. We're still playing it. But there's some things going on that make me think that the 3DS is on death's door.
Oh, that's because Kirby came out.
Well, there's a lot of things. Also, so Pokemon, Fire Emblem, Animal Crossing, a 2D Zelda, and Monster Hunter are all on Switch now, which used to be really big 3DS sellers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And now, as Tom wrote an article, like, why is Kirby's Extra Epic Yarn not on the Switch? Why is it only on
makes
the 3DS?
No sense to me.
And so can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, I got to play Kirby's Extra Epic Yarn over the weekend and on my 3DS, which I literally had to find in a bin and then was like, oh, wait, I need the charger too. And like, it was this whole to-do. But that's on me, not the game.
That's a US bin, not a UK bin. You didn't put it in the trash can,
it was not
right?
literally okay, in the
good,
trash
good. Can. I was worried for a second.
But Kirby's Extra Epic Yarn, just to start this off, still a great game.
Yeah.
Really fun platformer, really adorable, very cute. Not like a traditional Kirby game, but Kirby games have never, like, they experiment, they do weird things. So this game was in line with that.
This is originally a Nintendo Wii game.
Yeah.
Yes. It was a Wii game that came out in 2011?
Yes.
2010?
No, I think it's 2011. I remember playing it in my dorm room that looked like a jail cell. So.
Okay. There you go. I won't go into that anymore. But the thing that struck me about this is it's still good. It's a good port. They added some new things. There's a DDD and a Meta Knight mode that are like not huge, but they're amusing. They added these new powers that make an easy game even easier, but it's like they're cute and fun. The thing that struck me is there is no reason this game should be on 3DS. Like okay. No reason that made sense to me fully because, and I'll list
as a
it
consumer,
off,
as someone who owns the 3DS and the Switch.
Yes, Nintendo. From Nintendo's perspective, maybe there are reasons, but from somebody just wanting to buy this game, there's no 3D support. It doesn't really use the 2D at all, the second screen at all. Like, there's little things here and there, and it uses a touchscreen for like the decorate your room thing, but that's it. It doesn't use it in any real creative or significant way. The resolution has been reduced because the Wii went from 480p and the 3DS, even the new 3DS, is a 240p screen, which is hilarious in 2019.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's no co-op anymore, which was like a key part.
Yeah.
Like I loved the co-op in this
that's
game.
That's right.
There's zero co-op. And also they added amiibo support for the extra Epic Yarn version. But if you have, like me, only an original or an older 3DS, you don't have a new 3DS and you don't have the amiibo dongle, you just can't use the amiibo support. Because the original 3DSs didn't have it because amiibos didn't exist at the time.
Right. Yeah.
So it's just missing all these things where that entire list, if this game was a Switch game, would just not be an issue. Like none of those
things would all be there and they'd probably add a little bit more extra stuff to it, right?
Right. Yeah. And I understand that like, you know, one of the things that came up a lot in the comments and I talked to you about this actually, Pear, as well, the idea that Nintendo probably didn't want to remaster a 480p game up to the Switch's 720 or higher than that on TV if you
would
that way.
They would have had to redo all the art.
Right. Yeah. They would have had to do that.
You have to mocap all the original yarn.
Yes. You have to throw a lot of yarn around.
But kind of my response to that was always like, well, it looks worse on the 3DS anyway. Because they had to cut the resolution in half, so it still looks muddy and it doesn't look like you can literally look at comparisons on YouTube between the Wii version and this version, and it looks worse than the Wii version, which is a hilarious thing to say when they took the effort to port an 8-year-old game to a 9-year-old system or whatever it is, 9-year-old game to an 8-year-old whatever, you know what I mean.
Yeah. Also
it's
about
crazy.
It could have been fall 2010. But
I think it came out in 2010. And then
when this show is audio only, I'll have a laptop right here and I'll be typing the whole time looking
it
up.
When did Casey go to college?
Oh, actually, I recall it being 2010. Okay.
I guess like the crux of what you're saying is like, you don't want this thing it's not like, why is this on 3DS, but why is this like only on 3DS?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like this version would be fine if there was also a Switch version that
exactly.
had that.
Like, exactly.
Yeah. We understand Nintendo doesn't want it. So I'm going to say this. We think Nintendo doesn't want to leave behind its 3DS players, but considering what it's doing with all of its other games, can I even really truthfully say that?
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yep.
And if it came out on both, they wouldn't be leaving anyone behind because both people would get what they wanted. But like you guys said, they would have to put in the extra work to then upscale all of the graphics.
Yeah.
So. Yeah. I think they – who was it you saying – or no, I think it was Sam that was saying like maybe they just have like – an intern team that they train by like teaching them how to make 3DS games, and it's like that's really mean, but like it's like I just don't fully understand why they're doing this with like Luigi's Mansion too. They like ported it over, and is it just I guess it's just easier and it's like a quick thing for them.
I think so. Yeah.
I mean, porting these games, they're balanced good games. Porting them is much easier than trying to do something new. And I mean, if you were a kid and only had a 3DS, you're happy that there are more games coming out. Mm-hmm. You know?
Yeah. This is also like I mentioned before about like booting up my Wii U. Like the Wii U had a mechanism to purchase Nintendo Wii games.
Right.
Like you could go on there and buy Wii games. You could buy DS games. You could play Phantom Hourglass on your TV like a weirdo. It's odd, but it works, right?
The Wii U has a Wii inside.
Yeah, exactly.
It has the full hardware, basically.
Yeah, so I had Mario 64 on my Wii U. Like there's a way to access those things, and the Switch doesn't have anything like that right now.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And so I think in lieu of that, they found some way to get some new eyes on some old stuff. And also, video game consoles have life cycles.
Yes.
And that means they have swan songs. And that means that something, and it had to be someone, and it was almost definitely going to be a Kirby.
It's always Kirby.
has to show up at the very end of a video game console's life cycle to be like, this is the last one. And this is going to be Nintendo's probably final first party offering on the 3DS or the DS line in general.
And if you missed it on Wii, it's worth saying it is still a fun game.
Mm-hmm.
All those problems are annoying, but they don't stop it from being extra Epic Yarn or Epic Yarn, which is fun.
What are they charging for it?
I think $40. So
that's full price 3DS game.
I feel like that's a bit much.
Which is a lot. And to be fair, it isn't just like a couple new modes. Like they did add a fair amount of stuff to this game, and I appreciate that. It's also hilarious that we're talking about this because I think it very much does signal like the end of the 3DS, which is not a bad thing. Mm-hmm. As we said, it's been out for 8 years.
Mm-hmm.
It's one of my favorite systems ever. I think still to this day, the 2DS that's like the ugly one that doesn't
wedge.
Hold.
The doorstop.
Yeah, the doorstop. $80 for access to the entire 3DS and DS libraries is maybe the best value in video games today.
Mm-hmm. It usually has like Mario Kart built into it too.
Yeah,
like,
it's crazy, but you know, it's getting to its end. I think the only major game I can think of that is still on the way is Persona Q2, which is coming out in June and came out in like November, September of last year in Japan.
Right.
And That's all I can think of.
I think the odd thing here is that Nintendo has always had a home console and a handheld. So I think that's why everyone's concerned and confused.
That was the same thing.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, it is. It's, I don't know. I think it's going to be pretty invigorating to see them firing on all cylinders, you know, with this hyper-focused laser beam where all of their stuff goes to one platform instead of being spread across a multiple amounts of different mechanisms of play.
This definitely, I mean, I wasn't expecting there to be this few releases for the 3DS at this point in time, but it definitely points towards they're not going to just have one SKU, one $300 console. There'll be a smaller Switch,
right.
You know, something that caters to this market of people who don't want to bring that big handheld.
I'm always so nervous bringing that thing on the train with me.
The Switch?
Yeah, because it's so expensive and... Yeah, I would like a cheaper alternative. So if I get robbed, it's not that big of a deal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but I went back to my 3DS, and man, the small screen and the nubby joystick was hard to go back to playing Switch.
I still think that system has one more strong holiday season in it if they position it as dirt cheap with an incredibly low end like line of like accessible $19 or $14 games or something like that.
They didn't do that with Game Boy though. They didn't.
The 3DS Classic bundle.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I mean, even though they've like significantly and strategically downplayed the entire 3D aspect of it. Yeah. And this is another one where, by the way, when Reggie retired, I went back and watched his original pitch video for the 3DS, which was hinged entirely around movies. They were like 3D movies. You sit around with your family and you wear glasses.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Avatar made so much money. 3D movies are coming home to Nintendo Switch. What's your favorite 3D movie on Nintendo Switch?
Avatar.
Yeah. I'll wait. They don't exist.
The Pikmin shorts.
Yeah. They never really became a thing, right? Like there was like some OK Go music videos at the launch.
I mean, Nintendo came about as close as they could without actually doing it to admitting that the 3D just like wasn't great and didn't really fully work.
Well,
like, and I don't
mean
that.
It got negative stigma.
Right.
Yeah. It wasn't that. It worked great.
No. Excuse me. I don't mean that as in the 3D effect didn't work. Because the 3D effect, when it worked really, really well and it was very cool. But just the idea of a system built around 3D was like not interesting to people. And that's why they made the 2DS.
Parents were worried, right? Yeah. There were negative reports about it not being good for kids. And so they first started by putting disclaimers on the boxes, right? Not for kids under 13 or something like that.
It was like 7, 8. Yeah. Like it was young.
Yeah. It was like most of the messaging around the 3DS, 2DS, 2DS XL, new 3DS 2 XL with the boat grip adapter and the external Amiibo support.
Outboard motor.
It got confusing, right? And I had sympathy for anybody working retail at the time with a parent that came in and was like, what is this? What do I get? But not like really hitting it on the nose that like this had an optional slider on the side until they just basically kicked that entire feature to the curb. The 2DS was like, because doctors were saying like if you're 8 and under, this will wreck your eyes. Don't look at it. And so that's a tough sell on a system that ultimately has a very giant child demographic or like a large group of children, not giant child.
I think it did have parental controls that you could permanently turn off 3D as well. So you could just set that and give it to your kid and not worry about it.
But now Kirby's Extra Epic Yarn doesn't even have 3D at all. Mm-hmm. Like, they didn't even bother putting that in as an option.
That's been the thing with 3DS games for a minute now. It's weird. It's weird to see because I, as an adult man that doesn't care about my eyes, would love to put 3D on in that game, but they just don't even give you the chance.
Yep.
So the 3DS is on its way out, but we are still getting Nintendo mobile games on our phones. So maybe that is their plan to move things over to mobile. But one of the things that we just learned from the Wall Street Journal is that Nintendo is limiting spending on its mobile games, which is really great for people like us who play those games and not so great for the developers who are trying to make money and Nintendo's investors. Mm-hmm. Specifically, Nintendo is concerned about being seen as greedy by consumers. And they actually asked the creators of Dragalia Lost to alter drops of rare characters from like the gacha mechanic because people were complaining about them. And you know, if it's easier to get the rare characters, people will spend less money on trying to get these random pulls.
Right.
Because Nintendo cares more about its reputation than money.
I love that, by the way.
And it's crazy.
It's right? It's unheard of, right? Yeah. In 2019, to have like this AAA first-party developer come out and tell its developers rein it in on the microtransaction stuff. That is completely unheard of nowadays. Like everyone is moving in the opposite direction of that. But it's awesome because I think ultimately like the consumer loyalty and the goodwill you get from not being nefarious about that kind of crap is – just really heartwarming.
As long as people know that you're doing that and they have a frame of reference. But, you know, Nintendo may also be worried that a lot of its customers moving over from the existing machines are playing their mobile games for the first time, maybe aren't heavy mobile game players and doesn't want to turn them off with monetization features like that. I mean, they've done stuff like this before. Remember, the games used to remind you, hey, you've played quite enough. Don't you want to take a break? Right? Yeah. That was, nobody did that. They started that kind of stuff. And so I think they want to see as a company that is, does good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I've said it before on the show, Dragalia's Lost Gacha stuff is the reason I didn't play it for too long, right?
But I like it.
That's totally fair. It's just like, it's not what I was interested in. Yeah.
Casey, does it have dragons in it?
It has all of the dragons.
Oh, that's so weird.
But, so Cyber Agent, the people who made Dragalia Lost, like Sci Games and Cyber Agent, I guess, are the same company. They said, Nintendo is not interested in making a large amount of revenue from a single smartphone game, said an employee to Wall Street Journal. They said, if we managed the game alone, we would have made a lot more. Which is interesting, which is really funny, but.
And he put a little pinky to his mouth.
And they actually, for the first time in a really long time, they reduced their forecast of what they're going to make because Dragalia Lost is making like so little per player, even though Dragalia is making a huge amount as far as Nintendo properties go.
Right.
Which I thought was just an interesting. So
does that mean there's a small amount of people spending a ton of money?
Probably.
Or be whales.
That's how those games usually are.
Mm-hmm. Was that Zynga that was just like, oh, we call them whales.
I don't think they coined it, but the term whale is somebody who is a hyper consumer, like somebody who spends a lot of money, like a whale eats a lot, right? Yeah. It's not the nicest term for your most treasured customer.
Yeah,
like a restaurant owner is like, hippos, come in. Come on.
Pick a better name.
People come up with like cool names for their most diehard fans, and like you wouldn't be like, "Well, we're whales. We play this game a lot." Like, call them Bill Gateses or something.
I've been able to resist the whale transformation for this game. I've only spent $30, but I feel like it was worth it.
No, that's totally worth it.
It's a good game that I put a lot of hours
into. That's like a pilot whale. That's like a smaller type of.
No, that's like that is a bottom feeder minnow.
$30 is not a minnow.
Pilot Whales was a 3DS launch game.
You know, Casey, I think you're onto something though. I think, bottom feeder is a much better term than whale.
No, it's not. No, that's horrible.
Our bottom feeders keep us
Get out of the ocean with the whole thing. Like, bottom feeders, whales, crabs, just stop all of it.
They should be called the prized bluefin tuna.
That's great.
There you go. Bluefin tuna. Yeah.
And then what are they?
Everybody wants shrimp tuna. With shrimp.
Full of mercury. So, hey, speaking of seafood. Sakurai, I guess, got some food poisoning while working on Smash Ultimate.
That was amazing. That was a great segue.
From oysters he didn't eat is what he said.
Food poisoning like symptoms, but he just hadn't eaten anything that made him sick.
Flying
which
oysters?
Basically means like he worked himself to death.
Yeah.
Okay, so here's a story. He used IV bags to keep himself hydrated to continue working on Smash.
Mm-hmm.
That's bad.
It's so
scary. Take breaks.
Yeah. Yes. I'm not okay with any of that.
Yeah.
I would have much preferred a worse Smash Bros. Game and Sakurai not having to do that, but maybe I'm in the minority there.
Hey, I would have preferred that game get delayed and maybe I could have finished Let's Go Eevee at my first Pokemon game instead of like rushing through it as fast as possible to be like, oh, Smash is out in a week. I go to easily played Smash Brothers in March. Easily.
I mean, it's very on brand for him, right? The Smash games are just packed full with stuff. Like, there's always one more thing, one more reference to a classic Nintendo franchise. So, I mean, it's easy to see this guy doesn't want to go home, right? He wants to keep on working on this game and make it good. Thank you for that, but dude, please.
We're
get sick.
You know, we have this ongoing conversation as an industry and with its fans and developers and everything about crunch and like how it's a negative thing and it's a bad thing and it's not necessarily always imposed by the studio, but it's something that sort of like creeps up on you and maybe a bunch of people do it at the same time without even really thinking about it. Everything we've read about Nintendo's company culture is the opposite of that. We've read that they have, you know, positive working environments, people that work there for a long time. A customer survey just went out, or like a, it was like a, employee survey thing went out recently, that the average length of time that an employee stays at Nintendo is something like 13 years. Or
jeez.
Yeah. It's cool. You know, it's a company of like lifers, and people want to be there for a long time. They like being there and they leave early, and like their CEOs take pay cuts when they have bad years and stuff.
Yeah,
and so
crazy.
This feels like this is on
him.
Sakurai
did say that he's a freelancer. He could choose to leave, and if he wanted to, he could probably come in and work once a week. And as long as he got things done, Nintendo would be fine with it. Mm-hmm. But he is a workaholic, and he said he put new restrictions on himself and said, "Oh, like I have to leave at 10 p.m. every day tonight, no matter what, even if I do want to keep working."
What I don't get is, how does he still look like 20?
He looks so young still. Yeah. It's weird, right?
It's like Paul Rudd's disease.
Yeah,
like, he's been the exact same age for 35 years.
He's got a painting of himself in the basement that's slowly aging every day.
Do you think that's what it is? There's like
something. Pretty sure.
Okay.
Pretty sure.
And he crawls into it and comes out a new man every day, like something weird, fantastical.
Literature kids, read it. Read it.
I'm into it.
Yeah.
But yeah, don't work that hard.
Yeah. If you are so sick that you become dangerously dehydrated to the point where you need an IV bag, maybe just stay home and drink some water and Gatorade. Or Pocari Sweat if you're in Japan.
Ooh. Mm-hmm. Pocari Sweat.
Yeah.
My favorite salty drink.
It's a horrible name for something
salty.
That's pretty good.
It does taste salty.
I didn't think it tasted
salty. It's like
salty.
That weird isotonic salty flavor.
It's like bubble salt.
Like Dasani water, but with flavor?
No.
Dasani has salt
like
added.
Pits.
I don't know. What are we talking about?
Pocari Sweat?
Pocari Sweat.
You haven't had Pocari Sweat?
An electrolyte hydration sports drink.
Gotcha.
That you drink when you're sick or working out.
It tastes like
Gatorade.
Tastes like licking an armpit.
Everyone go taste Pocari Sweat and judge it on your own.
Okay. You can find it at your local Japanese supermarket.
That's right.
Yeah.
So we do have some news. Actually, we have quite a bit of news. But first, Trine 4, The Nightmare Prince is announced. It's going to come out fall 2019 on the Switch. Tom, are you a fan of Trine?
Yeah. When was the last time you heard an indie game get a 4 after the name?
Jesus.
Like, I'm trying to think of the last indie game that made it to 4.
Hmm.
Oh man, that's a really good question.
Yeah, I'm excited.
Let us
great.
Know in the comments.
Gears of War.
Fourth installment.
It's
an independent developer.
Notable indie game, Gears of War.
Fine.
No, Trine's great. They're 3-player or just 1-player where you switch between them platformers that are physics-y, puzzle-y based, and they're all real fun and they're real good.
And beautiful.
They're gorgeous.
They're really lovely.
I played this game on Wii U.
You played Trine.
I played a Trine game.
Was it two back then?
This game looks so pretty and charming.
Yeah. It looks, it's weird to say this, but like, it doesn't look overly revolutionary to the Trine concept or anything. Like, it looks new and better, but, I don't really care. It's just Trine is really good games. It doesn't need to be revolutionized, and I'm excited for more.
Always fun multiplayer games.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. If it's like a side scrolling
puzzle platformer.
Gauntlet kind of game, right? Where you have like the different character classes, but more focused on using your powers.
Yeah.
And less charming, more scary, Friday the 13th, the game Ultimate Slasher Switch Edition, that's actually what it's called, is coming to Switch this spring.
Mm-hmm.
I think that if your game name at 18-point font is longer than the Switch is wide, you got to cut it down.
Yeah.
That's my rule.
New rule.
So did you guys play this?
I haven't played it.
So it was a really good idea. And it was really fun to play, but not because the game was so well designed, because it was so glitchy.
It was super janky, and they sort of leaned into it. My friend Ryan Scott, who used to work here at IGN and at GameSpy, got insanely into this game and can like he
good John
he,
Ryan
could write a book about the
like
the spawning locations and all of the enemy AI patterns. He just got super into it. It definitely found its community. That said, I think the best ways to play this game really hinge on strong communication skills and voice chat and a bunch of other things that the Switch is not really notable for.
Mm.
It's also the second 1v however many horror film killer movie game that we're getting now, which Dead by Daylight was also announced recently. And when Dead by Daylight first came out, people were like, oh, it's basically like a Friday the 13th game. And then Friday the 13th, the game was announced, and everyone was like, oh, it's literally Friday the 13th game. So,
but I have a feeling this will have the built-in chat.
Yeah.
I don't think they'll use Nintendo's app. I think we'll hear more. This month is the Game Developers Conference. I think we'll hear more about chat middleware and other middleware for the Nintendo Switch. And I hope this is not just D-pad commands and stuff.
Apparently there are,
because screaming is half the fun in this.
Yeah, there are two games right now that use direct voice chat on Switch. I think it's Fortnite and Warframe. Mm-hmm. Maybe correct me if I'm wrong.
Definitely
there's
Fortnite.
Another one out there.
Yeah, but that's cool.
Yeah, I hope it comes out and it's still good and we have voice chat. But we also have a Turok Dinosaur Hunter, a Nintendo 64 game.
This is
coming to Switch
out of nowhere
on March 18th.
March 18th,
yes,
and it's $20, I believe. And Turok 2 is coming, but there was no details on that.
Twenty is too much.
20 is a lot. The details on this game were the original like promo copy details from like 1997.
Back of the box.
Which was like, a fully 3D world and you can move in any direction.
Mm-hmm.
So if those things interest you in this year, you'll love this game. This is a really weird one. This is one of the first games I bought when I was a kid with my own money that I knew was not great. But I still enjoyed it.
What?
Like while I was playing,
I really liked it when it came out.
Also, you have no idea how foggy this game was.
It is so foggy. It still is foggy, by the way. And when you're watching this year video, it wasn't running at this resolution, obviously, when it came out. It looked pretty blurry too. But I love that it was locked. The frame rate was just really good.
Yeah,
and they basically got to that frame rate by limiting your field of vision and really reducing it.
To me, synonymous was with my time of first becoming an IGN fan,
mm-hmm.
because IGN 64 would cover games like this and no one else would. And I would turn on my computer and after connecting through a phone cable 14 minutes later, I would read Nintendo64.com. Or IGN64, whatever your dumb website was called back then. And you would have articles about
both.
Like, you'd be like, oh, this Native American dinosaur hunter has traveled through time and there's a gun that steals brains. And I'm like, this sounds awesome.
Based on a comic book.
I saved up like $90 and I bought it and I was like, this is a weird bad game, but I'm going to keep playing it.
I don't know. You sold me anyway.
Mm-hmm. It definitely is super dated. When you play it now, it's like you get lost. There's some platforming that's not well executed, like the bonus levels and stuff, but it really popularized the Jesse Ventura minigun in games. Like the weapons are awesome in this game and the dinosaurs and the way the creatures look is really cool. Fun fact, I own both the US and the German version. Because of the violence against humans, the German version was altered and all of the humans are robots.
Amazing.
And they make like robot noises when you kill them and stuff. It's great.
I love that.
Yeah, I love that
version. Just for a little bit of a historical context to anybody looking at this game coming out on Switch in 2019 and going, why? Well, this is a studio called Night Dive, and basically this is what they do. Like they just get the licenses to older games that you can't buy anymore or don't work on modern PCs or computer systems, and they fix them up. They don't remaster them. They don't fix them or like change them. They make them work and then resell them. And they're doing it to System Shock 1 – or they're remastering System Shock 1 right now.
Weird.
And they're doing some other things. They're a great studio that just does this for a living basically.
I hope Turok 2 though gets run smoothly. That game, if you played it in high res on the N64, it just chugged to the point where – you know, it wasn't enjoyable in some of the parts. And if they get this to run smoothly, that was actually a really good game with some really disgusting weapons.
Yeah, no, totally.
Remember the brain borer thing?
The cerebral borer. I remember that being one of the coolest weapons of all time when I was a kid.
Like it follows you and drills into your brain?
When Metroid Prime comes out, and to this day when people talk about Metroid Prime, they talk about how it revolutionized that sort of jump from that franchise to 3D and the jump between first person and third person. But what that game did really well was platforming in first person. And the reason it felt so good was because it wasn't Turok. Mm-hmm. Turok, when you jump on things in that game, which it makes you do a lot more than it has any
You look to, forward, yeah.
It's weird and broken. You don't know where you're going to land and you die all the time.
Can't see your feet.
Yeah. But this is a weird one. In lieu of like a dedicated virtual console, I think people are going to kind of backdoor a bunch of weird games like this. So there it is.
We have another old game coming. I know, Tom, you added this.
Yes, I did. So, I'm really excited about this.
Aeon of Ruin,
I don't know how to say it. A-E-O-N.
Okay, I was hoping you would correct me, but this is fine.
This got announced as of published Thursday morning. So this just got announced. It's a new game from 3D Realms, which is the creators of Duke Nukem. It is made in the Quake 1 engine. It is a brand new FPS made in an engine made in 1996.
Wow.
So they made a game called Ion Maiden a couple years ago.
Yeah.
Or no, 2017 it came out in early access, I believe. And it's a shooter made in the Build engine, which was the game that the engine that Duke Nukem 3D was made in.
Right. Pseudo 3D, right?
Yeah, and basically 3D Realms was like, well, we made a 2D, 3D game. Now we can do 3D models, and they just like moved on to the next engine chronologically.
Wow.
And I played it, and it's really silly and fun. It is a Quake-style, really fast shooter. It's coming out on PC in the summer.
Is it brown?
It's very brown and gray.
Good.
But they added more colors. The thing is, like, the funny thing is, it can do – the engine can do a lot that it couldn't do when hardware sucked or when hardware was 20 years, like, younger.
Yeah.
So the game actually on PC is capped at 666 frames per second because if they didn't cap it at that on modern machines, it would run at 1,000-plus frames per second.
Even the pilot whale can't see that many
pilot
frames.
Pilot whale. And that was – that struggled to run on 3DS at launch. Yeah.
It's a
when
fun,
it never came out.
So this is a pretty cool – yeah. This is a pretty cool, fun Quake game, Quake-like game. Weirdly, it's coming out on PC this summer, but it's coming to Xbox One, PS4, and Switch at the early 2020, they said.
Sure, oh, bring wow. it all.
So we don't know when exactly, but there's going to be a Quake 1 1996 and Quake 1 engine game on Switch. That
That's
is
great.
New.
I love that.
It's
That's
very awesome. Weird and cool.
Totally into it.
Keep an eye on it.
So, hey, another old game news. We talked about Resident Evil coming to the Switch last week, and we just learned some extra information about the pricing.
That's right. in typical NVC fashion, about 8 seconds after we recorded last week's episode, we got the pricing on the ports of Resident Evil Remake, Resident Evil Zero, and Resident Evil 4 coming to Switch, and they are all $30 each, which is ridiculous. That is $10 more than any of those games were when they appeared on literally every other console and platform just a few years ago. And I'm kind of bummed about that. And like I said last week, this is not one of those like things that's happening because the Switch has that Switch tax when things get ported.
Yeah, it's the port tax.
The port tax, right? Mm-hmm. And it's usually because something gets a physical copy on Switch, and to make up for the fact that they're putting out in that tiny card and they're making a box and everything like that, they bump the price up a little bit. Resident Evil 4 is never coming out physically, or if it is, it's not announced right now. It's a digital-only game, and Resident Evil 0 and 1 are on one cart, and 1 is a download, and 0 is there. So the Switch tax thing falls apart. It doesn't work.
Mm-hmm.
I think this is Capcom going, can we get away with this? And me going, yes,
aww,
but with two middle fingers up. And I'm mad about it because I know I'm going to buy Resident Evil 4 because it's one of my favorite games of all time. And I can't not have it on Switch, portable for the first time in Resident Evil 4 history. But it just sucks.
You've had a handle.
Yeah.
Maybe they're putting this extra tax on Resident Evil so that they can get funding to make a Monster Hunter Switch game.
That's a weird.
That's not going to happen.
That's kind of like but, Robin Peter to pay
really,
Paul,
really
sure
connected it that well back to Dragons.
Yeah. Yeah, the thing is, like, we haven't really figured out how feature-rich these ports are. They might just be drag and drops from, like, the PC version or even the GameCube handle version. So we'll see. But right now, we don't know a lot. We do know they're expensive. And I do know I'm going to begrudgingly buy at least one.
Of course you will.
Because I'm stupid and I'm part of the problem and I'm sorry.
Aw. And also, real quick, before we move on to games out now and out this week, just PSA, you have just a couple of days left to download the Daemon X Machina demo. So if you're interested in playing that and giving your feedback, go and download it now. But hey, there's some games out now. There's Deltarune, Anodyne, Swords and Soldiers 2, Shawarmageddon, and Valley. And I think Ape Out is
Ape
one
out.
Of the best of the bunch.
That's my favorite this week.
Yeah,
so,
for sure.
That game's a really good time.
So it came out on February 28th, and it has an 8.8 score. So, which is great.
8.8.
Gosh. Say that six times fast.
Did you play it on Switch? Or,
yeah.
Which is, I think it's ape on the IGN scale, right?
Yes.
Ape.
I really, really like this. And you guys know I'm not a fan of random levels, procedural stuff. I'm not a big roguelike player. I really like this because the way the levels are remixed is fairly, like, you have a definite kind of progression through the levels as you get to the next chapter, new enemies are introduced. And so it feels like you're making progress. I love that sort of setup.
Mm-hmm.
This game is all about feel.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
sound and how the feel of the game and the sound and the reactions all like come together. It just feels so good.
So it looks like a top down action game where you're playing an orange gorilla
That's
and
right.
attacking people with guns and turning them to shoot other people.
And very stylized graphics. You have two actions. You can smash somebody, like punch somebody, make him fly against the wall and burst into like blood spurts. Or you can grab things. So you can grab an enemy, hold them, and basically use their weapons for a limited time against others. Or you can grab a metal thing off the wall, use it as a sheet, and throw it at people. That's basically it. And all the fun comes in that really kind of almost like improv jazz score that plays when you play.
The music.
Yeah, it's so good.
If we're not talking about this game, this game's music at the end of the year around like 2019 Game of the Year stuff,
yeah,
then it has been
yell at us.
An absurd year for music and games, because this soundtrack is so cool. It feels and sounds like just freeform improvisational jazz that you could be hearing in a club, but – it is all tied directly to your actions and the things that are going on screen.
That's really cool.
So
it's like having a little man sitting next to you with a drum kit and like scoring your game as you play.
And so, like you said, it's improvisational jazz, but the cymbal crashes are timed specifically to the murders that you do to the scientist. And it's like it never stops being incredibly rewarding, because you're this ape that escapes from prison and you just start tearing apart these dudes. And every time you do it, there's this just push. And it's just so damn cool because their blood explodes all over the wall. But it's also like really minimalist somehow.
Yeah, very minimalist.
Super minimalist. It ties, the music theme ties in. Like the levels are basically like records. And it's just like really, really cool surprise. A game that I didn't think I would like. I absolutely love.
Yep.
I'll have to check it out. So we have a lot of games on the list and not a whole lot of time. So I want to skip ahead to games out this week. Maybe not now. But Kirby's Epic Yarn, we already talked about that. Kirby's Extra Epic Yarn is out on March 8th on the 3DS, but also Assault Android Cactus Plus is out on March 8th on the Switch. I know, Perry, you're playing that, Brian?
I am too, yeah. I really dig it.
Yeah, it's really fun. It kind of like style wise reminded me of Jet Force Gemini, like that kind of kind of cute style with funny characters and storytelling around kind of like an anti-hero. Somebody's not really great at their job but is.
Yeah.
And it's basically it's just a crazy kind of room-based twin stick shooter.
Yeah, I like it a lot because the bullet waves like sort of automatically magnetize to the enemy patterns that you're attacking, so you have to sort of selectively figure out where you want to sway that. You're also managing certain energy meters and batteries and stuff like that. So there's this push and pull and ebb and flow of whether or not you should grab a power up or go all in on a boss. And it gets really tough.
Yeah.
And I dig it, and it grades your score. It's like just kind of really brutal old school action stuff. And I definitely dig it a lot.
Yep.
There's a lot going on. This is one of those games that clearly has been play tested to death, right? Like to the ends of the earth and back. They did so many little things to refine just the experience and how you flow through the game that is just, it's wonderful. When this first came out, back on PC and like years ago, it was this huge topic amongst indie developers and game developers, basically being like, yo, not many people are playing this right now, but it's something else, and it's something worth paying attention to. And I think it continues to be.
Yeah, I hope it gets it gets a new set of eyes on Switch.
Yeah, so did you want to talk about any games you're playing before we move on to questions?
Yeah, I really like – so there were a couple. I'm really liking Swords and Soldiers 2 if you haven't played that. The first one just came out. We talked a little bit about it, and so we don't have to go into too much depth. And yes, it's Shroomageddon. The sheep were stolen from the Shroomer shack or something. But you're playing as Vikings, and you can actually play split screen against each other, two players, so you can play online. And it's like a tower defense game where you basically send units into battle, and you know you have to kind of produce countermeasures to what your opponent is doing.
2D tower defense, right?
2D tower side-scrolling tower defense. Yeah. Like you don't have like pathing like you'd have in an overview overhead one. But it's, you know, it's got a kind of goofy sense of humor. It's really well made, like a really quality game.
It's really colorful and cute too.
Yep. Yeah.
What is the story like?
Nonsense.
Nonsense. Cool.
Come on.
I'm into
like,
it.
It is really about shawarma.
Okay, and it's out now.
Yep.
You can play that game
March 1st.
Now, so there were so many games that we did not touch upon, but I did mention them, so look them up if you're interested.
Anodyne is worth a look. Like, if you like a Zelda-like kind of 8-bit takeoff,
it's
rated really
M
fun.
For mature. It's rated M for mature.
It is mature. You have a broom. It looks like Mother, like Earthbound, but you have a broom instead of a sword, and people make fun of that all the time.
Oh, that's cute.
Yeah.
And Deltarune is also out, which is free, and it's the first chapter of a full game from the person who made Undertale. So definitely check that out as well, because it's free. So, no, let's do a game that some people don't agree is a game called Question Block.
Oh, that's not a game.
Game of the year.
That game. It is the game of the year. It's a game of every
year. It's definitely a game during the year, but might not even be a game at all.
So if you do have questions, you can reach us on our Facebook forum, Nintendo Voice Chat Podcast forums on Facebook. Gosh, I've said Facebook so many times. But anyway.
Facebook.com.
Our first question comes from Phil Mansfield. He says, with Turok coming to Switch, what other third-party Nintendo 64 games would you like to see follow it?
Ooh, Blast Corps, but that will never happen.
What is Blast Corps?
It's an awesome game from Rare.
Oh.
Hey, I had another awesome. You mentioned it already. Yeah. Jet Force Gemini was mine. Yeah. So another one that's not going to happen.
It's hard to not name Rare stuff and Nintendo stuff when you know,
you're
thinking
about
64. The N64.
But N64, I mean, some of the great developers of today, like Sucker Punch, got their start there with Rocket Robot on Wheels, which nobody played. I'd love to see some of those games coming back. Shadow Man was from the Iguana guys, I think, in the UK.
Yep. Shadows.
Not like Turok, another comic book franchise.
Yeah, and that's another one that, like, you know, is not great, but it's got a lot of really cool stuff going for it.
Some good Top Gear games on the machine.
Beetle Adventure Racing.
I brought that in the other day.
Yeah. Oh, nice.
Yeah, I have it in the
that's
office.
A classic.
I don't even know what that is.
That game gets kind of slept on when people talk about, like, N64 racing games and kart racing games. Everybody always says Mario Kart and Diddy Kong and stuff like that. Beetle Adventure Racing. Seems really good. Shadows of the Empire, Star Wars. Mm. It's not a great game. And I always
Star Wars.
But it's Star Wars.
IG88.
Yeah. Oh, he said he's a boss fighter.
He said third party. I should clarify. Some of the Rare games are obviously second party.
Yeah.
They are third party games. Oh, God, they were Space Station Silicon Valley from DMA.
Oh. Mischief
the
makers
of Lemmings and GTA.
Shake.
Mischief Makers, which is a treasure action platforming schmuck.
Side scroller early game.
Yeah. One of the only 2D games on the N64 because people were terrified of 2D games.
I think Nintendo published that here as Mischief Makers.
Three people in the audience understood that Shake Shake reference. But
Yes.
It's what you say in Mischief Makers.
Sorry.
Oh, shake the dude.
Right. I totally forgot. Only one game needs to come over.
What?
Ogre Battle 64. Of course. Jesus. I totally forgot. We have not seen a great Ogre Battle game like that since then.
We could also get of the only ways we could get Resident Evil 2 on Switch.
Oh, yeah, there you go.
Inside of, like, some weird cloud-based Japanese streaming thing.
There you go. We want all of the 64 games.
We want them all.
Our next question comes from Keaton John Armstrong, and he says, if the rumors of Game Pass on Switch are true and Microsoft exclusive being playable on Switch, do you think Nintendo would play ball on allowing some Nintendo first party to play on Xbox as well? Or what other benefits could Nintendo possibly give Xbox back with this new sort of partnership between them?
The benefits are money.
Yes. And I do not think Nintendo will let first-party games like Zelda or Mario be played on another console.
No, I would not be surprised, and this is just me speculating, but I would not be surprised if this is a very one-way street if this happens, because it's Xbox, it's very in the style of what Microsoft and Xbox have been doing of Xbox isn't a console anymore. It's a platform. It's a whole ecosystem.
It's an idea, man.
Yeah. as hippie as that is. Yeah. But like they've been doing this with bringing all of their Xbox exclusives to PC and
even giving you the PC version free if you buy the Xbox one.
Right. Yeah. And that was a thing where when they announced that they were going to do that like 3 or 4 years ago, everyone was like, yeah, we'll see. Like, and they've been doing that. Yeah. They've been doing a very good job of that. And I think hopefully have been seeing positive results from that. So I think that this is probably a one-way road in that it's Xbox and Microsoft being very interested about bringing their stuff to Switch rather than Nintendo courting them and trying to cut some deal.
Mm-hmm. And this is – Microsoft is, I'm sure, really, really worried about Google, right? Mm-hmm. Google has Project Stream. You'll hear more about that this month, again, from the Game Developers Conference. That is and possibly a box too that is a way to stream games much more efficiently to any device. And – NVIDIA has a service like this. Nintendo has one. PlayStation has one. Xbox has one. Everybody is jockeying for this position to become a Netflix of gaming, right? And Microsoft probably said, let's open it up. It's not going to just be on our Xbox box. It's going to be on every machine. And let's see if we can bring it to this handheld too.
And frankly, I think they'll sell a lot of game passes that aren't like losses of Xbox sales for Switch owners, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah. There's a lot of people who own Switches and are not going to buy Xboxes ever, but would subscribe to Game Pass potentially.
Yep.
And then the nice thing about the Switch is that it is not a 4K screen. And so Microsoft still has this upsell where they say, well, if you want to see what Forza looks like in 4K, you got to buy yourself an Xbox One X, or a high end PC, obviously. So I think it's not a bad idea.
Yeah. Huh? See what happens.
Mm-hmm. I'm into it.
So from our good friend, Zachary Ryan.
Hey, Zach.
Oh. Hi. Yes. Longtime listener. First time writer. My question is for Brian. When can we expect the triumphant return of Link Together?
You can expect the triumphant return of Link Together when Nintendo puts out Link's Awakening and I do one full playthrough by myself first without anyone else bothering me. And then afterwards, I do one with Zach where we play one of my favorite games of all time incorrectly, terribly, and frustratingly until it's completed.
Okay. Sounds like a wonderful party.
We're all looking forward
I was supposed to
that.
Print out a picture of Zach since this is our last video show for a while.
Oh, no.
And I forgot to do that. So if you're listening at home, please Google young George Lucas. Love you, Zach.
Carl Reeves asks, hey, Brian and co. Do you guys think that Link's Awakening Remaster is going to have a physical release or eShop only? I'm a physical release guy and have never played it, but eShop only is going to make me less likely to want to pick it up.
I think seeing it as it's a first-party title and it's one of their flagship franchises, it'll absolutely get both a physical and an eShop release. I will buy both, even though
maybe
I don't
even
buy
even a collector's
physical.
Edition.
And a collector's edition.
You'll probably get a collector's edition with like a Game Boy hat or something.
No, it's got the real egg in it.
It's got the real egg in it. Can you sit on it and like be like the mother of Winfish?
You can. I won't. I'm going to keep my real egg. You're not sitting on my egg.
I mean that little Link is like got to be designed for an amiibo
or a plushie. Oh, yeah, I want it all. Make everything. Make it all. Yeah. Give it all to me.
I want the Link's Awakening Chain Chomp amiibo, please.
Mm. Yep. If you guys make like, if it's like there's like a exclusive collector's edition thing that's only out in like South America, I'm buying it. I'll hunt it down. I'll get everything. I need it all. I love this game. It's my favorite.
You're gonna be so frustrated.
What?
Because those things will always sell out when you're asleep. Like South America, it's like tomorrow there right now.
I'll
You'll
throw
be
money
like
at
so
I'll
behind.
Wake up, go on eBay, throw money.
They will have
problem.
Bought it before you.
So
take food out of my kid's
you're just
mouth.
You're gonna have to put your Twitter notifications on, and then when it comes out, everyone just relentlessly tweet at Brian.
Thank you. Yeah.
There you go.
There you go.
Problem solved.
Let them know. When the egg is available for sale in South America, tweet at me.
I'm sitting on that egg.
We'll have to do an unhatching video.
No. All right. On that note, that's about all the time we have for today for Nintendo Voice Chat, IGN's Nintendo Show. Remember, you can catch us still on YouTube, Spotify.
Everyone, we are lowering our chairs.
Everyone's shrinking. Everyone went lower in their chairs.
They're sitting on his egg already.
I've got the high road and I'm staying here.
Go for it.
But you can still catch us on Thursday at 3 p.m. on YouTube, Spotify, like Apple. We're just going to roll everything out at the same time on Thursdays from now on. So
ooh,
no one will have to wait.
Earlier NVC.
Earlier NVC. Thursdays at 3 p.m.
That's great.
So, you know, stick here.
Friday commute saved.
Yeah. Friday commute saved. So thank you so much for watching. Again, this is NVC, IGN's Nintendo podcast. Please stick with us. Come back next week. And thanks. Happy birthday, Switch. Goodbye.
We love
you
guys.
I guess I'll.
Bye.
Okay.
We'll always be here like Obi-Wan.
Get the thing.
Like, we're not gone.
Oh, yeah. This is also the only place you can get the thing.
That's right.
Get the thing.
Sorry, we're so tiny.
Hello, friends. This is Mark Nell, executive producer of the Table Read podcast, where imagination meets performance. As we wrap up an incredible season one, we want to take a moment to express our heartfelt gratitude to each and every one of you who tuned in and supported us on this amazing journey. Season one was nothing short of extraordinary. We delved into captivating scripts that transported us to worlds beyond our imagination, thanks to the brilliant writers who delivered these works. But what really brought these stories to life were the talents of our amazing actors. Wait, the excitement doesn't end there. As we bid farewell to season one, we are thrilled to announce the launch of season two. Get ready for more gripping narratives, more unforgettable characters, and more mesmerizing performances that will keep you on the edge of your seat. We have some big surprises coming. The Force will definitely be with you. So stay tuned, stay engaged, and most importantly, stay excited. From all of us at the Table Read Podcast, thank you, and let's make season two even more memorable together.